Romans chapter 12. If you would stand with us together, we'll reverence the Word of God for just a moment. When I began to study this past week and this passage of Scripture come, I thought, I've done preached that to death. I can't preach on Romans 12 again, but I'm going to. Because I saw some new things that stood out to me, and I don't think we can ever exhaust the Scriptures. I think the more we study them, the more we'll find out, the less we know. That makes sense? And so here's one of those passages that we all could probably quote, or a lot could quote by memory, but I don't know if we've ever really got a grasp of it. So we'll look at it again tonight for just a few moments. I beseech you therefore, brethren, this is Paul writing to the church at Rome, just like we're gathered here tonight. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your what? I want you to think about that, because we're going to talk about being reasonable Christians tonight. So he says, reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, Lord, tonight we pause. We thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for opportunity. And Lord, I pray tonight, whatever the needs might be in this place, that Lord, that you will be with those. Direct your word to our heart. Lord, we pray for your Spirit to have freedom and liberty in this place. And Lord, I just pray that when we leave here tonight, that we've done everything you've asked us to do, we can truly say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. Thank you again for sending Jesus to pay our sin debt. In Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at this passage of Scripture, I just want you to notice a couple of things in getting started tonight. If you will, go with me to the first verse and the first few words that we read. He says, I beseech thee. The word beseech means to beg or to encourage for an answer or to encourage for results. Paul was begging this church for some results. And then he said this, therefore. Who remembers what I said in Bible study about the word therefore? Look before. So when we have a therefore, we've got to go before. Whatever we're about to talk about, it's because of what he's already said. So, and I think that'll help us tonight when you study this passage of Scripture. He says, I beg of you, therefore, I beg of you because of what I said in the last 11 chapters. So really quickly, let's think about what he said in the last 11 chapters. The last 11 chapters, first of all, in the third chapter, he talks about our sin. He tells us in chapter 3, verse 10, there's none righteous, no, not one. He tells us in verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We could go to the fifth chapter and we would find out, and by one man sinning into the world, all have sinned. We'd also find out in Romans 5:8, but God commended his love toward us, and while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We could make our way to Romans chapter 10, and he would tell us, if thou wilt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believing thine heart God raised him from the dead, what's the rest, class? Thou shalt be saved. Verse 13 says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, as we look through 10 chapters, we found out that you and I were sinners, but God sent Jesus to pay our sin debt, even though we didn't deserve it. It was because he commended his love toward us. So, just because of those things, as you read the rest of chapter 12, verse 1, you'd find that's why you're supposed to present your body a living sacrifice, because of your sinning and because of His love, because of that. But there's even more when you go to the 11th chapter. Look at the 11th chapter and look at the end, 33, 34, 35, 36. This talks about God and who God is. And I really think this is the reason of verse number 1 of chapter 12. So I want you with me to look at verse 33 of chapter 11. Let's see for just a moment who God is. We've gathered here tonight to worship God. And we gather here this morning to worship God. And God's our reason for existence. And God's why we do what we do. But do we really know who God is? I don't think we do. I really don't think we know who God is. I'm trying to find out more about God. I'm searching. And the Word of God has had to find out about Him. He wrote about Himself. You and I are trying to figure Him out. But if you saw Him, would you know Him? You don't. I mean, Moses probably got as close as anybody. The Bible tells Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Adam and Eve in the garden talked to him daily. And we know, again, Moses saw him up on the mountain or saw his hinder parts. But I wonder today, would we know him? And the reason we don't, because we haven't studied him enough. And so here's a little bit about God. All the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God. How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. So the first verse we read tonight about God tells us what about him? You can't figure him out. You and I try to figure God out. Most of us have grown up playing chess or checkers, and those kind of games are about predicting the person's what? Next move. You and I keep trying to predict God's next move. Tell me if I'm wrong. I'm right, ain't I? We try to predict what God's next move is. Listen to what's going on in the life, but this is what I think is going to happen. And you and I make those predictions. But what I just read tells me that I don't have a clue about God's next move, right? He says in verse 34, "Who hath known the mind of the Lord? Or who hath been his counselor?" You and I seek counsel. How many of you ever seek counsel from somebody? I hope everybody raised their hand. Oh, yeah, you did. We all seek counsel from a friend, preachers. We all are seeking counsel. I mean, we watch Oprah for that, right? We've got to get some counsel and Dr. Phil and all those great men. So, but here's what the Bible said. Who counsels God? It's kind of funny when you're reading that, but it's really trying to get you to think for a minute. I mean, God has a mind that nobody knows, and nobody counsels God. God's not seeking answers for your life from somebody else. God is the final authority. Then he says in verse 35, "Or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again." Who's gave God anything? God owns it all. You and I, all the time, we talk about giving God our tithes and offerings. You've not gave God anything. It's already His, right? We're to honor Him with His, back to Him. That's the whole idea of the giving part. We're just giving back what He's gave us. But then verse 36, I think this will really help us. You see, I thought we were talking about Romans 12. We are. But you got to get there first. And I think verse 36 gets you to chapter 12. "For of Him, and through Him, and to Him, are what?" You know what that said to me, Lona? That said to me it's all about God. That's what I get. Everything in life's about God. What do y'all think? This scripture just said it's all by Him and through Him and to Him. So, I believe, Brother John, it's all about God according to that verse. Now, because of that, because of verse 36, because of verse 36, look at the last part of it. "To whom be glory forever." You and I can spend our whole day, our whole night, our whole life just glorifying God. That's what that verse says. Now, I'm going to tell you all a secret. I don't think everybody's at that point in their life. And I think that's why we got chapter 12. Paul would not be writing a letter to a group of people who were already presenting their bodies as living sacrifice. If they were, would he? So he gets to this church, he gets a group of people, and he says, "I beg of you all, I beg of you, church, because of who God is, because of what God has done for you, I beg of you to present your bodies a living sacrifice." Now, I do believe that you and I have terminology in our lives that would probably fit that. I think every generation has words or
or cliches that stick to us. I can remember in the 70s, if you saw a car that was nice, you'd say, that was what? Somebody used my age. What was that car? Cool. It was never nice. It was cool, right? That was cool. Now, in 1990, we come up with a new word. That car is what? Awesome. Y'all are right with me. Now, I heard this the other day, and I hear it a lot, though. They took that to the next level. You ever heard anybody talk about taking it to the next level? Well, realistically, what Paul is trying to tell you and I, sometimes you and I as Christians, we want to stay on the bottom line of the ladder. We're just right down there. We're saved. We're going to heaven. We're going to church. And you know what? I'm good with that. But God wants you and I to take it to the next level. He wants us to bump it up a little bit. And Paul's begging this church. He says, present your bodies a living sacrifice. I think there's three things I hope I can get across tonight that I want you to remember. Let's look at verse 1 again, chapter 12. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Let me ask you all a question. Do you believe there's something... let me see how to put this. Do you believe there's such a thing as a terrific, magnificent Christian? No. Well, yeah, but Abraham, preacher. Abraham laid his boy on the altar, took the knife, ready to kill him. According to Hebrews 11, believed that he was going to kill him, and God raised him from the dead. And you say he's a magnificent, supernatural, terrific Christian?
Nope. I think that was reasonable service. There's a widow woman in the Scripture who brought her offering to God, and she gave all that she had. Surely to goodness, she went above and beyond, and she was, reasonable service. When you read all through the Scriptures, Noah, Abraham, Moses, all these people, you and I would want to put them up in high esteem and say, these are supernatural, terrific, there's nobody greater. Paul, no, he's the top. No. This is reasonable service. God's asked you and I to be reasonable Christians. Now, He may not have asked you and I to build an ark. He may have not asked you and I to lead a bunch of people through the Red Sea. But God has asked us to do things, and if we do them, that's reasonable service. Simple. So when we read this Scripture, He tells us that this would be a reasonable service. Reasonable Christians do three things. Number one, they surrender. Reasonable Christians are surrendered Christians. Now, what do you mean by that? I want you to go back and look at the words again. Present your bodies. What kind of a sacrifice?
Let's go backwards a little bit in time. Let's go back to the temple days. And those priests would offer offerings according to your sins. Now, if the sins were great, the offering was bigger. If the sins weren't so great, then the offerings were smaller. But every one of them deserved a sacrifice, whether it was a dove or a lamb or a goat or even a calf. There's going to be some sacrificing done. But here's the thing I want you to understand about the Old Testament. Even up to the day of Christ, those sacrifices were dead sacrifices. They were dead. Now, if you read Leviticus, they even had these crazy rules. Y'all know that after an animal's dead, his nerves are still alive. Greg knows this. Greg runs a... What's the proper name for slaughterhouse?
Harvest facility.
Harvesting facility. They run a harvesting facility. And they see this. I saw it even as a boy. We were talking the other night about when I was a boy, my grandma and grandpa had chickens, and the rooster... How many know what flogging is? Well, these roosters have got these spurs on them, right? Well, me and my sister was out there messing around. I was messing around a little more than she was. And at that time, I was faster than she was. And we got the rooster all fired up. Well, he caught her, and he began to flog her. Took them spurs and stuck her. Well, I run in the house and told Grandpa what was happening. Well, he grabbed his shotgun, and boom! Blowed his head off. Didn't you know you could come to church and get some PG-13 stuff? And I want you to know that chick can run around the yard with what? No head. Just running around. He ran like a crazy man, run over the hill, and finally died, I guess, 5 minutes later, but he's running up the way. So in the Bible days, according to Leviticus, they had a thing called an unsatisfactory sacrifice. And what that meant was, when they killed that offering and they laid it upon the fire, the nerves would begin to jump around, and that sacrifice sometimes would bounce right off the altar, and that was unacceptable. And so they made flesh hooks, and those flesh hooks were like those poles that they used to pull people out of those swimming pools. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Well, they'd take those flesh hooks and they'd hook them to the sacrifice, and then when they would burn that offering, that flesh hook would keep that sacrifice on there. You say, what has that got to do with us? Well, you and I are not to present ourselves as dead sacrifices, but living sacrifices. Now that's something, when I read that, it caused me to think about this. You and the sacrifice that those priests would make may make one time a month or maybe even one time a year for the sins. But I want you to understand something. God's asked you and I to sacrifice ourselves every day of our life. Living sacrifice. I'm talking about hourly, minutely, secondly. You and I are to be what? Living sacrifices. Now, when you and I read the story of Abraham and Isaac, here's what got me into this lesson. It's crazy how your brain works sometimes, but I was studying Abraham and Isaac, and I was studying about how old Isaac was. A lot of people say Isaac was a little boy. Everything I studied out called Isaac 21, 22 years old. Now that changes the story for me a whole bunch. Brother Mike, it changes it a bunch because Josh is 25. Stand up, son. Can you see Josh and I going up on a mountain and I'm going to sacrifice him? Now, the last thing that happens before we read this story is that Abraham bound Isaac and put him on the altar. How many want to see it? I'm fixing to do it. I'm going to bound the boy up and throw him down. Y'all ready? Who wants to see it? I don't want to see it because it could be a mess. But now listen, Isaac was a willing sacrifice. I think you've got to get this. Isaac wasn't a little boy who his dad could force down and tie up. Abraham was willing to give him, but Isaac was willing to let his dad do it. Isaac believed in the God of his dad. Does that make any sense? And I'm telling you something, Dad. I don't know how many dads are here tonight, but I want to tell you all something. Your kids are watching you. Now, I don't know that Isaac had the faith in God as much as he had faith in his daddy. Does that make any sense? And he trusted in his daddy, and his daddy trusted in God. I think that goes a whole long way. Now, you and I are to present our bodies a living sacrifice. Can I tell you something? This steed right here doesn't lay down so easy. I don't give up so easy. But here's what God is telling me, or Paul is challenging me, for me to go to the next level as a Christian. He says, I want you to present your body a living sacrifice. That means every day you give up your body for God. And we're not talking about painful. I'm talking about service, okay? And I think we'll get into that a little bit more as you read on. So look at the rest of it with me. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And then he tells us how. Holy. We know that means set apart. Acceptable unto God, which is your what? Reasonable Christians. Tell me, class tonight. We're not on TV. This is not a big television presentation. We're just right here, just us. Tell me what you all think reasonable means. Huh? Am I hearing fair? Okay. Somebody else. Reasonable. Adjust amount. Fair, adjust amount. The dictionary says within reason. Sure, that's what the dictionary would say, right? Reasonable within reason. Now, you and I sometimes will look at that scripture, we'll say, well, reasonable means just the bottom. But that's not what the scripture says. The scripture says reasonable, right? And if you look that up, it technically means fair. This is fair. This is fair. What you and I are to do that's fair is to present our bodies a living sacrifice. That means giving God our life. Present it to Him. Now, here's what I have dug in and found out about this Scripture even more so. You and I have been challenged by God in these verses to do a couple of things. Look at with me in verse 2. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. You and I, tonight, how many of you believe tonight that God has something specifically for you to do? Well, if you don't believe it, you need to start, because He does. There is a reason for your salvation. Sure, God loved you. But when He saved you for a purpose. Every one of us, He had a purpose in His mind for us. Now, your and I's job is to get in line with God and find out what that is. Now, here's how you do that. You present your body to that position that God wants it to be used. Now, for instance, maybe God wants you to be a school teacher. Then what you got to do is present your body a sacrifice to be a school teacher. That's what God. That's your reasonable service. That's not above and beyond. See, God didn't call all of us to walk through the Red Sea. I want you to keep that in mind. He didn't call all of us to put our son on the altar. But He's called all of us to do something. And you and I have got to do that in order for that to be our reasonable service. Does that make any sense? So you have to find out what that is. And every day of your life, you have to present that to God. You're presenting your body for that purpose. I got a question for you. How many of you tonight feel like that you're right exactly where you're supposed to be, doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing? How many of you could honestly say, "Preacher, I think there's more. I think there's something else." Well, here's what Paul is doing. Paul is saying, "I'm challenging you all. I'm begging you all. Take it to the next level. You can stay down here and be mediocre. You can stay down here and just go to church and sing songs and say, 'That was a great church service today.' Or you can move on up the ladder and make sure you're being where God wants you to be." Now, the first way I said is surrender. The second thing I believe is separated. He said in verse number 2, "Be not conformed." You and I understand exactly what that means. We do. We preach on this part all the time about being like the world. Again, I do believe that this is where we've dropped the ball today. If you and I as Christians have dropped the ball anywhere, I believe it's right here. I think we're surrendering, but here's what's happening. We're surrendering once a year. We're surrendering to revivals. We're surrendering every other month. But you know what? You've got to do it every day. And then you've got to present your body, that living sacrifice. Then by doing that, you are separating. You're not being like the world. What does it mean to be not conformed to this world? What does that mean to you? Go with me to 1 John. I've got to take you there. And maybe this will help. 1 John. Chapter 2, verse 15. This will help us. 1 John 2:15. "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." I can tell you that in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, when he says, "Be not conformed to this world," he's talking about what I just read to you in verse 16. Here's what the world is. It's not the people. I think I've shared with you. If not, I'll share again. When I was a boy, a preacher preached on this verse, "Love not the world," and I got mad at him. And after church, I went and talked to him. I'm 8 or 9 or 10 years old. And I said, "I don't believe that verse, preacher. Because I said, my granny's in this world and I love my granny." He said, "Well, you're not understanding." And I didn't. When I read that, I thought the world talked about my car, my house, and my wife, my kids.
But that's not what he's talking about. Look what he's talking about the world. Verse 16. For all is in the world the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. Somebody tell me what the pride of life is. Y'all tell me what the pride of life is.
Satisfaction.
Pride of life. Somebody.
Self-righteousness.
Pride of life. Adam and Eve had these three things. They had the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. How did they? What was the lust of the flesh with them in the Garden of Eden, looking at the fruit? What was the lust of the flesh?
Tree to be desired, right? What was the lust of the eyes? It looked good. Now, what was the rest of it? See, if you and I are not careful, we got this idea that we're growing and we're growing and we're almost like God. We've not even started. And that's where the pride of life is. And we've got to be careful with that. And what Paul is trying to tell you and I in Romans chapter 12 in verse 2, we got to stay away from the ways of the world. The ways of the world says, if you looks good, go for it. The ways of the world says, if you want it, get it. And also the ways of the world is telling us now that God's in us. We all have a little bit of God. Just search it out. I mean, we've got all these people living in trees out in California. Ain't that crazy? They're living in trees to protect the bird. Living in trees. They're living in trees. And to keep people from cutting the trees down, they're living in trees. And somebody will come down, somebody will take your place. And literally living in trees. We're living in a crazy world. But you know what? All these people, when you hear them talk, they all talk about God. And they all talk about His creation. And the Bible tells us in the last day that people will be lovers of what? Pleasure. They'll also love the creature more than the Creator. And how many seen the TV show called Stuffed? Oh, you've got to see it. Thank you, Beth. I knew you had to have watched it. There's a TV show. There's a man in Arkansas who's making bunches of money. Guess what he's doing? He's stuffing people's pets. So if Foofy dies, you can have Foofy fixed, and you can look at Foofy every day. Last week, this guy, he's a biker, right? And his little Foofy dog died. And so the biker comes in, leaves his little Foofy dog, and they stuff him. And when the show's over, the guy straps Fuffy on the back, and they're going down the road on his Harley with Foofy in the back. And he's just a crying, and everybody's just so happy. Now, y'all think that's crazy. But I'm telling you, the world has got like that. It really has. And we're living in a world where people are worshiping the creature more than the Creator. But now what Paul is saying is, be not conformed to this world. Be different. Be different than the rest of that. Don't let your eyes cause you to buy what you don't need. Don't let your desires cause you to go where you don't need to go. And don't let you think that you're more than what you really are. That's what Paul said. Don't be conformed. You be separated. Then he tells us this, and I'll be done with you. He said, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. This is Sunday school class all over again. That ye may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Let me tell you what I believe the last thing is. I said, first of all, we've got to be surrendered. Then I said, separated. But I want you to get this one. Saturated. You and I have got to saturate ourselves in the Word of God. I don't know how to stress to you all enough. If we as God's people want to go to the next level, what's happening in our day and time? I'll be honest with you. Times have really changed since I've been in the ministry. 30 years ago, people memorized Scripture. People quoted Scripture. When I heard Sherry's dad today quoting Psalms 1, I just started taking it with him, quoting out loud with him. That Scripture helps him in his life. And you know why? Because he has saturated himself in the Word of God. And when all these trials and troubles come up, there's a scripture that will pop in his mind that will help him through it. Now, I believe that people my age or older have got a lot of scripture in their minds. Most of us grew up memorizing scripture. We were taught to do that. But what's happened is, the younger generation's coming on, a lot of you don't even have a Bible. If you're not saturating yourself in the Word of God, you're going to have trouble in your life. This is what he said. I want you to read it one more time with me. I hope you can really get this before you go home. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I'm going to ask y'all a dumb question. And I know this is dumb, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Y'all think God changes? Do you think the ways of God changes? They don't. This is what the Bible says about God. He's the same yesterday, today, and what? Forever. Then you all tell me why it is in 2012 that it's okay for two men to marry, it's okay for a couple to live together, it's okay to have an abortion. Y'all tell me that. Because in my day, 2012, we're talking about people in church. I'm not talking about the world and some craziness. I'm talking about church people. I'm telling you today that there's a lot of church people who think it's okay to have same-sex marriage. And I can tell you how I know that's true. Because a lot of states have passed a law that lets that go. Now, somebody's come up with the crazy idea that it's all about insurance purposes. That there's these two guys, and because they can't get insurance, but as a couple, they can get insurance, and so they act like they're really married. Malone, y'all not buying into that junk, I hope. Y'all still awake, or did everybody leave? You're not buying that, are you?
No.
No, thank you, Roxy. I know she ain't buying it.
Are you buying
it for a bit? Nah, there you go. You and I tonight, listen to me. We've changed how we look at things. Things that's going on right now, you and I 30 years ago would have cringed at it. Come on, y'all can nod. But you know what? Why are we letting it go today? I'm telling you why. Because we're not saturated in the Word of God. If we're in the Word of God, when that junk comes up, you and I are going to have the right answer why it's wrong. We've changed our ideas about alcohol. We have. I think back a couple years ago when Dan was fixing to have the wet-dry thing. This is what one of the church leaders in town told me. When we went to the little meeting, they were going to have everybody passed out these signs. Mom and Dad went with us. There's about 35 people there, wasn't there? All of Danville, all the churches were invited. There's 35 people. And this is what one of the church leaders told me that wasn't there. He said, I've got members who are going to have liquor stores, and I don't want to run them off. Well, praise Jesus. What do y'all think about that? What does the Bible say? Wine is a mocker, strong drink is raging, whosoever taketh thereof is not wise. I didn't write that, God did. Y'all think it's still good? It is still good. But you know what? Unless you and I are saturated in that kind of thinking, our thinking changes. And here's the number one tool the devil in 2012, and I'll hush, is to get you not to read this book. That's why a lot of church services today are about you not bringing a book. I'll show you what it's going to say. I'll tell you what it's going to say, and you go home. I want y'all to know something. It's not all about this service. It's not all about the service this morning or Wednesday night. It's what happens at your house Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. If you're not saturating yourself in this book, you're in trouble. You're in trouble. Because you'll not be able to make the right decision. Paul said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. You and I's minds don't think like you're supposed to think. Y'all agree or disagree? Our minds are thinking wrong. That's why Paul said you've got to be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. He said that you may prove. Now, here's the bottom line. God has chosen you to prove to the world what's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. So what Bobby does tomorrow lets everybody around Bobby know what's good and acceptable to God. What Tex does tomorrow around everybody Tex is around lets everybody know what Tex thinks God thinks is acceptable and the perfect will of God. What you do tomorrow, Patty, lets everybody around you know what's good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. Now, what do y'all think about that? Doesn't that make you a little nervous? Some of the things you and I are doing, you're letting other people think that's what God thinks is good. See, that's what he said. Did you make proof? Who are you proving this to? To God? We're not proving this to God. We're proving this to the world. We're to show the world. This, as crazy as it sounds, see, if I would have been God, Kim, as soon as I would have saved me, I'd have got me out of here. Because I could mess this thing up. I'd have saved Beth, got her out of here. Saved Michelle, got her out of here. Saved her coffin, got him out of here. Got Lona out of here. And that would have been good for all of us, right? But here's God's plan. Crazy as it may sound, I'm going to save Lona, and I'm going to leave her here so she can show the rest of the world what's good and acceptable and the perfect will of me. Wow. That makes me nervous. That's God's plan. Now, why do you think a lot of people are not being saved today? How many lost people look at Christians and say, well, I ain't no, they're no different than I am. Come on, everybody move their heads like this. That's true. What's happened to the Christian world is that the lost world looks at us and they say, don't see no different. Don't see any different in that teacher than the other teacher. Don't see any different in that farmer than that farmer. Don't see any different in that nurse than that nurse. Don't see any different in that teacher than that. See, that's what he's saying. You and I have to be different. Now, I don't know about you all, but I just want to be a reasonable Christian. Just reasonable. And whatever God's asked me to do, I want to do it. But I realize I've got to be surrendered and I've got to be separated. But I really better be saturated in the Word of God. I want to make a challenge to you. We had an awesome crowd this morning. I mean, it was probably more than Easter. But I want you to understand something. You were spotted today in the crowd. And there's a whole lot more crowd out there. And it's going to be real important how you live your life this week. And that's why Paul says, I beg you, because of what God done for you, because of who He is, I beg you to do this. And I'm begging you all today as well as myself, as we go out this week, that we can be what we're supposed to be. Let's stand and pray. And get Miss Amber to come to the piano. Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank You tonight for Your Word. And Lord, sometimes simple verses that we read so often, sometimes they're just bigger than we really realize they are. And Lord, tonight, I want to be a reasonable Christian. And Lord, I want to know what Your will is in my life, and I want to put myself there to be used in that capacity, whatever it might be. And so Lord, I pray that every moment of every day that I'd be putting myself in that position to be used. And Lord, help me to be that living sacrifice. And Lord, I pray that You'll help me when it comes to the world and the things of the world. Lord, I can be saturated in Your Word and I can know what Your will is. And I can try to show that to a lost and dying world. So Lord, I pray tonight in this invitation time, maybe there's others of this building who just need to make some changes in their life and they want to do that between you and them at an altar. Lord, I pray tonight that they would just come for that reason tonight. Have Your way and Your will in this service. In Jesus' name. Every head...